am. Ego eimi, I am, Jesus said, the bread of life, the true vine, the good shepherd, the gate to the sheepfold. I am. I am, in our gospel reading for tonight, drawing you so that we can be like him, so that we can be with him, and so that we who are drawn, we who have all of our sins absorbed in the cross of Calvary, can also go out and in the name of Jesus, with the love of Jesus, draw others into his kingdom. Oh, Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw us all to thee. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. That's what drawn people do. Now an artist, and I'm not much of an artist, but an artist gets to do the drawing. And I might draw a picture of Rich, for example, and Janet might say, that doesn't look like Rich. And I say, that's your problem, not mine. I'm the artist. The one who is drawn, it doesn't matter whether they think it looks like them. It's not me. Well, it's the artist, the one who does the drawing that says, I drew it. I am drawing you. And I say, it is you. That's what Jesus does. He draws us when he is lifted up. He said this to show the means by which he was going to be put to death, crucified on the cross. Lifted up, it means to be exalted. It means to be enthroned. It means to be executed and put to death. When the Son of Man is lifted up, the Father is glorified. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he draws all people to himself. Don't forget to draw. When I play some card games with my grandkids, maybe you get three cards, and then you're laying a card out there on the pile. As soon as you lay one of your three cards down, you know what you got to do? Draw. If you forget to draw, now you got two cards. If you forget the next time, now you're down to one card. Now what are you going to do? You're not playing with a full hand. Don't forget to draw. The one who has drawn has commissioned us to draw. Now, as you looked at our gospel reading for tonight, I imagine that immediately you said to yourself, this seems out of place. It's like putting the cart before the horse. Because what you noticed, no doubt, is we're in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, and our gospel reading is in Holy Week and follows immediately after Jesus has come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and the people are waving palms and they're shouting, Hosanna, save us! But we're not going to celebrate Palm Sunday until the beginning of Holy Week, which is next Saturday. So you see what I mean? It's like putting the cart before the horse. It's a little bit out of sequence. But that's okay. Because the Son of Man who will be lifted up has already been lifted up for you and your salvation. Why? Well, because as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, John 3, last week's gospel, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. In our gospel reading for tonight, it begins with an announcement that there are some Greeks, the Gentile world, there are some Greeks who want to see Jesus. We understand the attraction. Get it? The pulling? I am drawing you. Do you feel the pull? The Greeks want to see Jesus. Now, Is it because he's been doing all of these signs and they want to see a sign too? Because Jesus will immediately say, when the Greeks come to Philip, a Greek name, and he's from Bethsaida, Gentile, you know, the Galilee of the Gentiles, that region. And he goes to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip come to Jesus and say, there's some Greeks that want to see you, and I know you want to break out into the song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Ah. You see? We want to see Jesus high and lifted up, exalted, enthroned. And that's Good Friday. That's the death of God's only Son. The snakes weren't removed in the wilderness wandering, Numbers 21. But God provided an antidote, a bronze serpent on a pole. And all you've got to do is look up. Just look up. Some Greeks want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, that's a sign. That means my hour has come. The hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. In the Gospel of John, you hear a lot about the hour of God's glory, which is the salvation and redemption of God's people, which is the cross. In the cross of Christ, I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. In John chapter 2, the wedding in Cana, Jesus' first sign, where he turned 120 gallons of water into the best tasting wine ever, Jesus' mother Mary comes to him and says, they don't got no wine. Jesus, they haven't got any wine. And do you remember what Jesus says to his mother? It's not my hour. It's not my hour. But nevertheless, he provides the sign, and it says that when they saw the sign, the disciples saw the glory of God revealed, and they believed. In the Gospel of John, you've got two main parts. I mean, you've got the prologue, chapter 1, the epilogue, chapter 21, but you've got these two books, the book of signs, John 2 through 12, and the book of glory, John 13 through 20. And right now in chapter 12, you're seeing this transition when Jesus says, the Greeks are here. That means it's time. The hour of glory, the Father's glory, the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has arrived. It's time. And Jesus last week compared himself to a bronze serpent on a pole. But this week, he's comparing himself to a buried seed. Now, any botanists here in the crowd? Seeds. They got DNA in them. If you plant an oak seed, what do you expect to get? A corn stalk? Give me a break. Seeds produce of themselves. So if Jesus is the buried seed, and a botanist will tell you every seed has an embryo in it, the seed loses itself, pours itself out, empties itself, and gives life to the embryo so that the roots go down and the shoots go up and the fruit goes out like a man on the cross. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The hour is here. The time has arrived. I know you're saying it's out of sequence. We should wait for a few more days. At least let's wait until after we get into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Let's keep things in proper order. But that's not how dying and rising works. You know, you've been there. It's not always in a natural, normal, expected, predictable order. dying, and rising. Whoever would save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will save it. Where in the words of St. John's Gospel, if you love your life, you lose it. If you hate your life, you gain eternal life. And Jesus is not talking about self-deprecation. He's talking about the will of God. To love your life is to love your own volition and will. But to hate your life in this world is to die, is to surrender, is to submit to the will of the Father. Because the one who is drawing you is doing so for a purpose, so that you can be a vessel of his love and draw others to. I'm not just talking about a card game. Don't forget to draw. We are by God's grace called to be with Jesus. Where the master is, there will the servant be also. Where I am, there you will be also, Jesus says. That means on the cross. Inescapable. That means not only buried with him in the tomb, but raised with him in the victory of the third day. Where I am, there will my servant be also, because I am drawing you. And when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all people to them, to himself. I am drawing you. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, say that Jesus did many other signs not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Drawn for the holy purpose of drawing others into the fellowship of God's love, into the kingdom of the saved. Now, that doesn't mean that our wills will always be in alignment with the will of the Father, because Satan always wants to deceive us. He wants us to love our lives and to hate losing. And Jesus says it's okay to hate your life if it means surrendering and emptying the self for the sake of the Father's will. I don't know if you know the name Adam LaRoche, but he's retired. He was a professional baseball player. And he played in the course of 12 years of professional baseball on 7 different teams. The last place he was playing for was a multi-million dollar contract with the Chicago White Sox. Now, Adam, ever since his boy, Drake, was little, always brought his son with to the clubhouse. And Drake is 16. But in spring training, March of 2016, management, ownership of the Chicago White Sox said, you know, you can't be doing this anymore. You see, Adam LaRoche had his locker in the clubhouse, and right next to it was one that said, Drake LaRoche. The boy had his own locker, and he'd be there when his dad was doing all the training, and he'd be cleaning the cleats of the other players, and he'd be vacuuming the floor and running errands and washing their cars, and he was hanging around with his baseball family. And Adam LaRoche, well, he was raised in a Christian family where he knew that what defines him is not his talent on the baseball field, but Jesus Christ as Lord. So management says, and there's this heated conversation for about 20 minutes in March of 2016 where they say, your son is not going to be in the clubhouse anymore. And Adam LaRoche said, then I quit. All he had to do was to play April through the summer, you know, into the fall, and collect his $13 million for 6 months worth of work. He said, I quit. If my son can't be here with me, then I don't want this. Because family's more important to me than baseball. And he wrote on this Twitter thing, you know, where he put, thank you, Lord, for the gift of baseball and for giving me way more than I deserve. Hashtag family first. $13 million. Now, I got to admit that I maybe would have said, well, son, you know, I just got to make this $13 million and you're not going to be here. But he realized that there was a conflict with his values as far as what he had been taught and raised as a child of God and what has to come first. And so he said, I quit. And when he was interviewed by ESPN and other places, he said, I have no regrets at all. None. After he got out of baseball, he was only 38, I think, at the time. He went on a family trip with his wife, his son who was 14 at the time, and his daughter who was 12, and then with another baseball player from the Milwaukee Brewers, he went over to Southeast Asia on a 10-day undercover trip. Now, I don't know if you know the kind of stuff that goes on in Southeast Asia, like Thailand, etc., but there is a tremendous problem with sex trafficking of little girls. And he went over there trying to help to rescue some of these girls and confronting some of their adult men clients and telling them about Jesus, trying to bring them to the Lord, to set them free. You see what happens when you are drawn to Jesus? You are drawn to do what he does, to be who he is, his perfect image and likeness. He's living his life for Christ, not for baseball. This past winter, when we had the Super Bowl here in Minnesota, he was in another big city where there's a lot of sex trafficking of little girls in our country. And he was there trying to rescue and save some of these little girls. What are you living your life for? Gaining by losing? Losing by gaining? Jesus says, I am drawing you. When the Son of Man is lifted up on a Good Friday cross, he will absorb all of your sins, draw all of your sins into himself. And he will set you free from the evil one. Why? Well, because he loves you and because he wants you to draw others into his eternal kingdom too. There was, in 2009, March, a police officer along with three others. His name was John Higgy, and John Higgy was shot and killed. And he was on life support. And they decided to take his organs because the previous summer of 2008, he became an organ donor in the state of California. And his family said, this is what John wanted. Protect and serve. He lived his whole life for others. No one was a stranger to John, his mom said. And now in his dying, four people have been given organs and the gift of life. In his dying, there is rising. the Son of Man, he's drawing you to himself so that you can draw others into his holy presence and his forgiving love also. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I am drawing you. Don't forget to draw. It's not just a card game. Amen.